Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the Book of Acts.
Show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
You keep a cover over every single secret, so afraid if someone saw them they would leave. But somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we're looking into Acts chapter number 12, verse number 11. For those of you that are following along, it says, "Then Peter came to himself." Now, that's a pretty interesting thought right there. Yeah. It's almost like he was in a daze. He'd been in a daze before.
He had been. He's definitely, you know, had those moments in his life where he wasn't sure exactly what he was saying or doing.
Yeah, and what happens is oftentimes Peter, he had visions and then angels spoke to him. And here, he's in jail. If you remember where we left him off, he's in jail. And the angel tells him to put on your clothes, get up, and he walks out of the jail. The jail's open, and he's set free, and all of a sudden it says, now he comes to himself, because he wasn't sure whether he was really having a dream.
Right.
He didn't know where he was, but now all of a sudden he comes to realize that he's been set free, and he says, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. So all of a sudden he understands one thing, that the Lord is the one who rescues him.
You know, it's amazing to me. So many skeptics would like to take the miracles out of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just another affirmation that God is a miracle-working God. Now, he doesn't do everything that we ask him to do, but there are moments when he has worked miraculously in my life. I know that for sure. And it's just like this for Peter. Here's this moment where God, who sits enthroned in the heavenlies, rescues him from certain death. And that, what a moment that must have been for him.
It is. We like to make God like a Santa Claus, whatever we want.
Yeah.
That's what he is. But here he's working for a purpose.
Yep.
Remember, this is a new church. Just Jesus leaves everything in the hands of his apostles and his disciples, and he goes to heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes, dwells within man for a purpose, for a reason. And so everything that happened is for a reason. So here they were, you know, they chopped the head off of James, who was the senior pastor at that particular time in the church. And Peter is a key leader, obviously, he himself. So they figure, okay, this is good. People enjoyed this. So let's do it to Peter now. And they're going to chop Peter's head off, put him in jail. And the Lord sends an angel and sets him free. Now, remember, the church is just starting.
Yeah.
And so here, you know, in history, they always say, well, if you want to destroy a movement, cut the head off the snake.
Right.
That's what they say. Cut the head off the snake. And so I've just been watching a George Washington thing about the Continental Army and they fighting the British. And that's the whole thing. They sent people to kill Washington.
Yeah.
They just wanted to go and kill him. And this is what happens with Peter.
Yep. Take the leader out. If you can take the lead guy out, then you think that the whole thing would fall apart.
So here Peter says all of a sudden he's recognizing that God is not only with him, but God is a deliverer. And so when this had dawned on him, Peter, all of a sudden, understanding now he's not in a dream, this is something that's real, it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So it's interesting to me that the first thing he does, he's delivered.
Yeah.
Where does he go? He goes to a prayer meeting.
Yeah. You know, there must have been some news happening when he got arrested. When James got arrested, he was probably at this house in the prayer meeting trying to pray for James.
That's true.
To get him delivered. So he knew exactly what was going on.
And so here, the first thing he heads is to the house of Mary, and he goes there because they're having a prayer meeting, and he knows they're meeting. And so it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance. Now, I'm assuming that they had an entrance. Usually, many places were gated, and they had a wall around them. So that would be the outer entrance.
Okay.
And then there's an inner entrance where the house actually was, a wall around it. So he's at the outer entrance, and he's knocking at the door of the outer entrance. And this servant girl, now, that's an interesting concept, too, because here we're finding Christianity, and we have a girl that's a servant. Now, I don't know what her status was. Here it says she's a servant. I'm not sure whether she was actually owned by somebody as a servant or whether she was just serving.
Yeah, you know,
it doesn't say.
It doesn't say. So obviously she was employed, at least we'll say she was employed by the house. And I think Roman servanthood, slightly different than what we think about slavery. You know, when we think about it, we go back to the 1800s and what happened there. It was a little better situation back in these days.
And her name was Rhoda.
Right.
She came to the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, so Peter's outside banging on the door, and she recognizes that it's Peter.
Yeah.
And she's so overjoyed. she ran back without opening the door and exclaimed, Peter's at the door.
Yeah, this is great. Peter's here. And they're like, no, he's not. You know, and I wouldn't want to be Rhoda. You know, forever and ever, your name is recorded in God's word as the one who didn't open the door.
But you have to kind of put yourself in her position because they just killed James, and now they know they're going to kill Peter, and they're praying for Peter's to be delivered and set free. But James didn't get set free, and so they're figuring, oh man, this Peter, he's done. Tomorrow they're going to take him, and so he's in jail. They know what the Romans have done.
Yeah.
They know what's happening, and so she's just shocked. She hears the voice, and she doesn't open the door, and I don't know what that would be as far as an emotional response. Yeah. It's one that is so emotional that your actions don't seem to make sense at that moment.
Yeah.
You're just so excited.
She was so filled with joy.
Yeah.
Plus, she didn't want to aid and abet a criminal who had just broken out of jail.
There you go.
No, so, she was just overjoyed. So excited because she was just in the room praying and interceding for the release of their leader. And then she hears and recognizes his voice. How exciting, how thrilling would that be? Because she's part of the miracle now.
She is.
She is experiencing this God-ordained miracle at the moment. And sometimes I think when we experience a miracle, it's hard for us to comprehend and believe it, and it's hard for us to contain ourselves.
And so here's Peter standing outside the door, and the girl is supposed to open the door to help him in. She leaves him. So he's hanging outside
the door.
Yeah,
so Peter's looking around over his left shoulder, his right shoulder. Hello, let me in.
Who's going to come and get me? You know, isn't that something, though? Sometimes miracles are like that. The miracle has already taken place, and yet you're standing there because all of a sudden you're confounded by what's in front of you, and nothing seems to be going the way you look like it's supposed to go. She should open the doors and just come in with Peter arm in arm.
Right,
that would have been really exciting. But no, she runs, leaves Peter there, and she runs and tells everybody in the prayer meeting, Peter is at the door.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty exciting when you think about it.
You know, poor Peter.
He's out there waiting.
He's looking around going, okay, wait a minute. I just got miraculously delivered. Am I going to get arrested again? You know, I don't know what's happening.
But I want you, the next line in the Bible really kind of is amazing because here these people are praying for Peter to be set free, praying for God to intercede.
Yes.
And she comes and said that Peter is at the door.
Yes.
And they say, you're out of your mind. They told her.
Such faith. Such great faith.
You're out of your mind.
You know, I think Jesus would say, oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, my goodness. But to actually tell her, you're out of your mind.
How can you say that? You know we're in here praying. You think God answered the prayer? You know, that statement, like you said, really makes you wonder, did they really believe what they were praying was going to happen?
Well, that's a good point. And a lot of times people don't. They pray, but they do it just out of ritual, if you will, not really believing that it's going to happen. But we have to understand, maybe perhaps because she's a servant girl.
Yeah.
She wasn't maybe one of them. Maybe she wasn't even praying with them. She's just answering the door, moving food, doing whatever she had to do. And so maybe she wasn't one that was praying with them, and they didn't consider her as maybe being, quote, as spiritual as they are. Yeah. So they say, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But she insisted. The next one says, when she kept insisting. Now, that's pretty interesting when you're talking about praying, keeping it before the Lord, insisting. Right. She insisted that it was so. Well, they said, maybe it's not Peter, but it's an angel.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how I would respond if somebody told me I was crazy.
No, it's true.
You're out of your mind. And then you'd be like, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, you would take that as an affront. And so I'm glad that she kept insisting and kept pushing it. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm not. There's a miracle at the door.
But even so, they still don't believe her.
No.
Because they say it can't be Peter. No. It must be his angel. In other words, maybe they killed him early.
They killed him early. Okay.
So they're kind of still into the ghost atmosphere almost, rather than the deliverance atmosphere. And they say it must be his angel.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how much experience they had with angels, but Peter obviously did have some experience with angels because the angels came and got him out of prison.
Yep.
And the disciples and these that are praying must have had some understanding of angels because there's a lot of angelic activity in the Old Testament.
Right.
And in the New Testament, there was angelic activity that we saw. So they're thinking that, okay, it's not Peter, but it's his angel.
Yeah.
And so Peter kept on knocking.
Yeah.
He's still outside.
At this point, I wouldn't have been knocking. I think I would have been banging on the door. I think it would have been a little harder than knocking.
Or hiding because you're afraid the soldiers right, are going to come get you.
I'm over here in the hydrangeas.
Yeah, let me in. And when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished.
Yeah.
That's an amazing word right there. They absolutely were beside themselves. Just like Peter was beside himself when the angels came and delivered him, they're beside themselves because their prayers are being answered.
You know, and they recognized him, and they just got overtaken, right? Peter comes to himself. He gets excited. He goes. He knocks on the door. Rhoda comes. She sees him. She gets excited. They go in. They're not really sure. They come up. When miracles happen, I think that's the only response that we can have is that
we're astonished
that this really happened.
Yeah. And then the next verse is really amazing Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And described how the Lord brought him out of the prison. So they were so excited that they were jabbering away, and Peter has to stop them and say, listen, you left me out here for a long time. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Listen,
I just busted out.
The Lord busted me out.
The Lord, I didn't bust out. The Lord busted me out.
Yeah.
He didn't even need a file and a cake.
So then it goes on, and it says, I want you to go. Tell James and the brothers about this, he said.
Right.
And then he left for another place. He didn't even stay.
No, he couldn't.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
he couldn't. Didn't stay to the prayer meeting.
He was a criminal. He had just busted out of jail.
Yeah, but you figure he'd stay in the prayer meeting and they would have coffee and tea and something. You would think they'd be real excited about it. But maybe he was a little upset because they left him outside for so long.
Could be. I'm not sticking around here.
You don't have any faith. I'm going somewhere where I can find faith.
No, I think he knew that, you know, Herod was a pretty nasty guy.
Yeah, and he'd probably send somebody out.
He definitely needed to guard himself and those people as well.
That's true.
So he was doing this, obviously, for his own safety and the safety of the church at that moment.
But it's interesting that he says, I want you to share this. I want you to tell people what happened.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus really does for us when he does something in our life. He says, okay, I'm doing this miracle in your life. I am setting you free. I'm doing something that's going to give you an ability to become more than you are.
Yeah.
But I want you to express that to people. I want you to go and tell people. Tell your brother. Tell your sisters. Tell your moms and dads. Tell everyone about what God's done in my life.
You know, it's one thing that we read about in the New Testament. Yeah, I mean, there were miracles. There's miracles throughout the Bible. And it's so important for us to remember that God is still working miracles in lives today. He did it here. And this serves as a pointer for us today to say that, hey, you may feel like you're in prison. You may feel like you're surrounded by the enemy and things are just coming apart at the seams. Cry out to God. Have other people pray for you and let a miracle happen in your life because God still does miracles.
And you can be sure that when you pray for someone and somebody comes to you and says, look, you prayed for me and God did a miracle, that you'll be astonished.
Amen.
That you'll be astonished just by that fact. The matter of fact, you probably won't even believe it until you actually see something.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You will not believe it. These people did not believe at what happened when God answered their prayers. And that happens to each and every one of us. Because like Pastor said, he says, it's just astonishing when God does something miraculous in our lives.
Because it's beyond our doing. It's beyond our capability. There was no way that Peter could have done what he did. Walk out with 16 guards around him. And walk out peacefully and quietly and silently and just without lifting a finger. He just followed that's supernatural.
It is. And in the next verse it says, in the morning there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter.
Yeah.
So there's a astonishment among the believers, but there is chaos, commotion among the soldiers.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, there were 16 of them
right.
that were guarding him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these 16 soldiers, where did he go?
Right.
What who let him out? Who opened the door?
Right.
There's two or three doors to get out of here.
Yeah.
What happened?
Was it your turn to watch him?
Yeah.
Yes, it was your turn to watch him. Yeah. Who's responsible?
Not me. Not
you
me.
You 16. You 16 Roman centurions.
Oh, my goodness.
With swords and helmets. Yeah, it was you.
And then it says, after Herod had a thorough search made for him and didn't find him, like you say, he didn't stay there. He kept moving, and they couldn't find him. He cross-examined the guards in order that they may be executed.
Yeah. Not a good day in the Roman army there.
You know, that's not a good day for the guards because it had nothing to do with them.
No, they weren't responsible.
You see, and there's sometimes it has nothing to do with you, but the enemy of your soul will want to destroy you. And it doesn't have anything. Sometimes you say, well, it's because of sin. It's because of this. And I've had people do things like said when something happens in somebody's life, they say, well, it's because you're sinning.
Yeah.
It's not always has anything to do with you.
No.
It's just the enemy is vicious. And here, Herod is an enemy, and he's vicious. So he has all these guards executed him. He cross-examined them.
Right.
And even though he cross-examined them, and they came, probably told him what happened with angels and all of that stuff, and told them that we didn't do anything, he still has them to be executed.
You know, you've got to think that some of them were awake. Some of them had to
saw what happened.
Some of them had to be alert because you can't have people sleeping when you're on guard duty. Now, some of the other ones may have been asleep, but I would think that this was the night shift, and at least some of them had their eyes open. Who knows what happened at the cross-examination? But either way, these men were held accountable for something that an angel executed did in the life of Peter.
Well, 16 of them, and like you say, they're cross-examined.
Yeah.
And I think we just had something in the news about some news reporter that was in an embassy, and there was guards, and there may have been 16 of them that came in there, and they killed them.
Yeah.
In this case, it's a little different because it's the guards that are being executed.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. So then it says, we're not going to read the next verse.
Yeah.
We're going to stop here because we're going to talk about Herod's death next time we get on that particular program.
Yeah.
But here we have been confronted with the astonishing facts that God does miracles. Like Pastor Tim said, he still does this today. And so he's still interested in our lives. He wants us to be free from any prison that you find yourself in. And when people are praying for you, just know God answers
prayer.
Amen. He still answers prayer today. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.